Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Time is up. The IRS is in full collection mode for 2024, issuing liens, levies, and garnishments to anyone who has a past tax debt or unfiled tax returns. Don't wait till it's too late. Your paycheck and bank accounts are at risk of being seized. Call now and stop the collection process today. If you're living check to check, no matter how much you're making, you still may qualify for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. It's just a 5-minute call to get your options, and it's free. If you owe back taxes, have years of unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wager bank levy, or finally just want to sleep better, business or personal, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief while there's still time. A+ rated by the Better Business Bureau, and tough, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. The call is free. Call their hotline number now, 800-298-6544. That's 800-298-6544. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-298-6544 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. American Mark Fogel, held in Russia since drug charges in 2021, has been freed, says the White House. ABC's Patrick Reeval.
Fogel's case was known to reporters. He was one of those Americans who was believed to have been seized by Russia over the past few years to be used as a bargaining chip. I think clearly the timing of his release now is notable.
No details how it would work, but President Trump, while hosting Jordan's King Abdullah at the White House, said that the U.S. will not buy Gaza, but will take it, redevelop it, said there'll be land in Egypt, Jordan, and maybe elsewhere for the 2 million Gaza Palestinians, and that it wouldn't cost taxpayers anything. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu threatens to resume fighting in Gaza unless more hostages are released Saturday. Just hearing now from Hawaiian Airlines that a flight from Honolulu to Seattle returned to Honolulu after takeoff Sunday because of smoke from an engine. Nobody hurt. This is ABC News. Grocery stores, including Trader Joe's and Costco, are enforcing purchase limits on eggs amid a shortage due to bird flu. The Army is seeing a dramatic rise in enlistment.
December 2024 was the best December in years for Army recruiting offices, with 5,877 people signing up to serve. That makes it the best December in years and puts the Army on track to meet its 2025 enlistment goal of 81,000 new recruits. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth credits the election of President Donald Trump, but August, 3 months before the election, saw even more signups than December. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The nation's other military branches are also recording a surge in signups. A man in Massachusetts, the first person in the country to try new Alzheimer's nasal spray treatment. It's designed to reduce inflammation in the brain, a common feature of many neurological diseases. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. The state Supreme Court race is getting expensive.
The most recent campaign finance reports show the campaign of Dane County Judge Susan Crawford raising $2.8 million, and that of Waukesha County Judge and former State Attorney General Brad Schimmel raising $2 million. The 2023 election, in which Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz defeated former Justice Daniel Kelly, saw more than $51 million spent by both sides. That's an amount this race could surpass. Supreme Court elections are officially nonpartisan, but Schimmel is backed by Republican and conservative groups. Crawford has support from liberals and Democrats. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Department of Natural Resources will begin prescribed burns across the state.
The DNR says recent precipitation amounts have created conditions that are ideal of burning in certain areas of the state. Prescribed burns support healthy ecosystems for an abundance of plants and animals in Wisconsin. The agency says these burns mimic the benefits historic fires once provided but occur under a safer range of weather and fuel conditions. When conducting a prescribed burn near roads or recreational trails, DNR staff will post signs to notify the public. Visit the DNR's prescribed burn dashboard for more information. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin residents have a new option for filing their federal taxes. Spokesman Chris Miller says the Direct File program is now available.
Direct File is a program where taxpayers can file online directly with the IRS for free.
Miller says there are other new helpful improvements like voice chat to find out the status of your refund and an increased number of forms that can be filled out on a tablet or phone rather than a home computer. You'll find out more online at irs.gov. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Plenty of sunshine throughout the afternoon in our Real Country 1430 forecast. So we'll have temperatures near 6 above. Northwest winds at around 5. Tonight's cloudy, low 1 below. Tomorrow's snow could see an inch, highs near 12 above. Thursday, sunshine, highs near 8. You're listening for Durand, Arkansas Girls High School Basketball. The Lady Panthers at Spring Valley tonight. The Advent Health Panther Preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here in Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along with us once again here today for the conversation about farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to talk about the cattle markets here in just a moment. But Kyle Bumstead from Allendale, he's going to join us for market perspective here. In segment two, we're going to take a look at the latest meat demand monitor results. We track that each and every month with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. He'll be with us here in just a little while as well. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll have a conversation with the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper. Be good to catch up with Justin. It's been a few weeks since we've talked with him. And then at the end of the show, we're going to get another preview for Commodity Classic happening in Denver here just a couple of weeks away. We'll talk with one of the co-chairs, Rob Schaefer of Illinois. He's going to join us for that conversation coming up here in segment four today. So buckle up. We got a lot to get to here on today's AOA. Let's start with what's going on in the cattle markets. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale joins us here on the show. Kyle, it's good to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
You bet. It's good to be back here. Thanks for having me. But we opened up here today on Tuesday, February 11th here, about steady money here. We did trade just a little bit higher for about 30 seconds, and we've seen a pretty good size sell-off come here in this feeder cattle complex and live cattle complex as well, too. March feeders, the index is running right around that 275.85 here today when the Merck updates it later, but that daily number has been slipping a lot, has been slipping some here lately. That daily number going in, that average around 272.80. So folks really got to watch that daily number going in. Some of these feeders are kind of slowing up out there in the country as far as price-wise goes. The demand's still pretty decent here, but some of these feeders have kind of softened up here in price just a little bit as far as what the CME watches here for their feeder index. You know, a lot of commercial sell pressure going on here early on. They started out with some commercial buying. Yesterday, we saw commercial buying in both the feeders and the live cattle. But today, you've got March losing ground to the April, April losing ground to the May, and May losing ground, big ground to the August. So there's some seasonal patterns that show up here as well, too, in some of these feeder spreads, live cattle spreads, and some of the deferred months.
Kyle, I know last week we saw some tough days in futures as well. And I just have to wonder, and I love your perspective on this. Are we seeing the funds that managed money? Are they starting to finally move out of some of their long positions here in the cattle markets? What do you think?
I think there is some of that liquidation happening. Yes, I agree with that 100%. Now, I can't really take in the last couple of days here as far as open interest changes and things like that. But if we remember back here a month ago, 3 weeks, months, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, didn't matter if the market was up or market was down, open interest kept going up every day. Market goes up, open interest goes up. Market goes down, open interest goes up. You just had this continuous buying program put out there. And recently, I think it's kind of maybe hit a stall spot in this buying. Now, we got up to new all-time highs here in this cattle complex and feeder complex. And the question I had, and a lot of folks said, well, it doesn't matter because it's just going to keep going higher, but who's left to buy it? You had the funds that were just adding length in this feeder cattle complex, getting themselves into new record highs. Somebody's got to buy that thing. And somebody's going to have to buy it again here. If we get back up to those contract highs, who's going to be left to buy it up there? That's what I question. And so I think you are seeing some of that liquidation happen now.
Yeah. And I wonder too, it seems like at least the feeling I'm hearing and getting is that some feedlots are getting a little more anxious to maybe move some cattle here as well. And that could be another piece to watch as we develop some of that cash trade this week, Kyle.
You bring up a very good point right there. There are some yards that are looking to try to get rid of some cattle, but we've also got a packer out there that's got negative margins. I think you can take any number you want, skew it any way you want, whatever. But the number I use, they're losing between $175 and $225 a head with my calculations. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. That's just something that I use by my metric, and you're seeing the slaughter pace getting cut too. So that's going to have an effect here. And yes, we are seasonally seeing the weights come down a little bit. Yes, the cold weather and things like that. Yep, we have cold weather every winter and weights seasonally decline, but we're still running a huge weight. Our weights are still sizable compared to previous years and the previous couple years. So we still have a lot of tonnage out there on the market, even though we may not have the headcount. According to the government, I say that in quotations because a lot of people put those cattle on feed reports as the gospel, but there's really nothing in them. We've already traded that. In fact, we're getting the March cattle on feed report right now, day by day, as we trade this thing. So, I mean, we've already seen the February cattle on feed report, and we're working on the March cattle on feed report now during the month of February. So looks to me like some of these deferred contracts here as far as the back months, the August oct and these contracts, looks like there's some seasonals up there and some spreads that could work in the favor out there.
We're talking with Kyle Bumstead from Allendale here today on AOA. You look over at the corn market, still kind of holding futures here in the high fours, low fives, and some of these old crop contracts. Mm-hmm. New crops looking pretty good. I mean, with the way corn prices are right now, is that affecting any feeding margins in your opinion, Kyle?
I don't think so. I mean, a lot of folks say, well, you know, corn's up. That's why feeders are down $4 today. But if you lay a corn chart over a feeder chart over a fat cattle chart, they all work in unison together. Yeah, you're going to have a couple days or a week where there's some disparities out there, but corn's up, feeders are up, corn's up, fat cattle are up. Corn's down, fat cattle are down, corn's down, feeders are down. They run more in a correlation, not in a reverse correlation like people think. They run more correlated. They run together more than they run apart. So there is some of that. And a lot of folks here, you know, have been saying, well, we're going to put feed wheat. Got to feed wheat. You don't feed wheat to cattle. I mean, you do in some instances, but once you start them on wheat, you got to feed it all the time. And you don't just switch them back and forth like some of the Chicago traders think you do. It doesn't work that way. So, there's a little bit here. Some of the cost of gains are, kind of an eye-opener, but interest costs are a big eye-opener to folks as well, too. You're borrowing a lot of money. So, you know, there's a lot of five-weight calves bringing, $3, $4 a pound, you know, between $3 and $4 a pound. Some are bringing more than that. It just depends on the quality of cattle where you're getting. You know, the cheaper ones are in the south, obviously, with those Mexican cattle coming across there. And then you got, the northern cattle up here in the sand hills that are bringing premium. So, you know, take your pick. Interest is a big, big, big expenditure this year on cattle.
Kyle, any final thoughts for us here as we wrap up our conversation today? Anything else you're watching in these grain and livestock markets?
Yes, I am. A lot of folks are glued to social media and the algorithms that are trading the headlines and tweets and whatnot that are coming out of the White House. And when stuff happens over the weekend, as far as those headlines and things like that, be very patient. Don't jump in on a Sunday night. Wait and let that thing trade out overnight. Get this thing to calm down a little bit, then make your move on Monday or Monday afternoon. There's a lot of times we've been through this before, whether it's cattle, corn, you know, grains, livestock, energies, equities, metals. People want to jump in on Sunday night, and by Monday's close, they really regret that decision. So just be careful moving forward here with this administration and how you perceive things, because sometimes what gets read by the algos isn't really true sometimes.
Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Appreciate the time and the perspective. Thanks for joining us here on the show today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to take a look at the latest meat demand monitor results. Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University will join us after this on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Are you heading to National Farm Machinery Show? This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA Live on Thursday, February 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. from AGI Booth 7423. In advance of 2025 planting, now is the time to adopt a review, repair, replace strategy. Stop by AGI's booth to get tips and learn what's new in grain storage, conditioning, and material handling. That's Thursday, February 13th from AGI Booth 7423 from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern at National Farm Machinery Show.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue today's program, let's dive in and take a look at the latest meat demand monitor that is out from Kansas State University. Joining us now to run through the January MDM, Dr. Glenn Tonsor. Glenn, it's good to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for having us on here.
Well, we track this every month with you. Let's just kind of the overarching overview to start as we look at some of the willingness to pay numbers and et cetera, and looking at changes or not, no changes. I guess give us the overview to start here. Did we see any big moves in the month of January?
Yeah, so we are referring to the January base report, as you said. To remind our listeners, this is part of the Meat Demand Monitor project. Everything's based on ag. It's based on a national survey funded by the Beef and Pork Checkoff, and you can find everything on our Ag Manager website. With that quick reminder, we start off these base reports on what you're asking me about you know, base demand, and we do it separately for retail, so think grocery store for at home versus away from home food service demand, and the demand patterns were quite different here in January between those market channels. Jesse, specifically, demand improved for the grocery store at home channel on most of the metrics that we watch. So ribeye steak, ground beef demand, pork chop demand, so forth was higher in January than it was December if we're looking at the retail channel. But on balance, it was the opposite when I'm looking away from home. So willingness to pay for a dinner meal at a restaurant was actually lower for something that had, you know, main entree that was a ribeye steak or a pork chop or a chicken breast. That's not real surprising to me. January, we tend to see folks reduce their foot traffic. You know, those credit card bills kind of come in after the holiday spending. Kind of an increased retail focus is what showed up again in this month's numbers.
And that's a good point, is that, you know, we kind of see some of that seasonality at play here. I think about the way that meat demand has been as of late, even at some higher price levels. But, you know, this is kind of that year, time of year where we're in the winter doldrums, so to speak. And, you know, one has to wonder if we could see some declines here seasonally until we get to that summer grilling type of window here, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you're right. There is a seasonal aspect to this. Most measures don't separate the retail from the food service part. That's what I was trying to clarify there. I do believe there's this kind of macroeconomic sentiment component, which we'll come back to here in a minute. But for households that are concerned about that, they're going to eat at home kind of regardless of what seasonal month it is, because their food dollar, quote unquote, goes further if they're the one doing the prep and cleanup, right? So I think we saw that in January. And if inflation worries are growing, and that kind of depends on what metric you look at, I think we'll see more of that going forward.
As you look at some of the other aspects of this month's meat demand monitor, I know we tend to look at things like location and consumption frequency when you look at prior day meals, et cetera. Talk about some of those numbers. Any key updates there?
Yeah, very, very similar numbers. And these don't move a lot month to month on what you alluded to, the prior day consumption. So we asked folks, you know, did you skip or did you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Did you have it at home, away from home? Did it have beef or pork in it? There's a whole litany of questions. And we summarized some of those in kind of standard figures. There's not big changes here in January compared to December, or even if you compare it to prior January, you know, from previous years. I'll just put a bow on that and say breakfast still is, you know, the most favorable meal for pork. Beef tends to be better in the dinner meal. That is nothing new. You know, for example, here in January, we still had almost a third of the dinner meals saying they included beef in them, and almost 20% of the breakfast meals included a pork item.
Looking at some of the ad hoc questioning as well, I know you guys tend to change this up a little bit here month by month. What did you find with some of the ad hoc questioning here for the month of January?
Yeah, and I was alluding to this earlier on the, you know, I've actually varied this less in the past year and a half than I had before, because I think there's a lot to this macroeconomic situation and household sentiment story. And that's what we highlighted again in the January base report. So I'll just tell you the latest numbers and then importantly compare them to a year ago. So here in January of 2025, 19% of the public told us their household finances are better than they were a year earlier. And that's great. I wish it was more than 19%, but 19% said it's better. Basically half said things are the same. And then a third said things are actually worse than a year ago. What's most important for folks to appreciate is, first, if you tell me your finances are improving, you're way more likely to tell me you had beef, pork, or chicken in your meals yesterday. So folks that are content or kind of comfortable with their financial situation, not surprisingly, are much more likely to pay up and have meat in their meals yesterday. So there's a demand story underneath that. That's not new. We've quantified every month. But the part I really want to drive home is when we compare that to what the same story looked like a year earlier, in January of 2024, only 15% said their finances were doing better. So 19% is bigger than 15%. That's a good thing. Again, I wish that was half the country. But in aggregate, the country started 2025 in a better financial sentiment position than they started 2024. And that is definitely supportive early in the year for domestic meat demand.
Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University joining us here for the look at the January Meat Demand Monitor, the base report. AgManager.info is where you could find more details and take a look at the historical data and more. And, you know, thinking about this economic picture, this is something that we've talked about multiple times here on the show, Glenn. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the habits of consumers, and you know, you mentioned some of those credit card bills coming due here at the beginning of the year and more, and yet we still continue to see fairly good demand at the meat counter. You know, you just wonder, when do folks have to start trading down to cheaper cuts of meat or perceived cheaper cuts of meat because things are just too high for some folks? I think that's going to be a key thing to watch here early this year.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And the fact that it's been slow to play out that way is a testament to strong demand, at least in the past months, to be clear for our listeners. But that actually shows up in the two figures I included in the January report. So I'd like to talk about the better now, kind of the optimistic part of those financial sentiment numbers. But let's go to the other side, the worse now part, and specifically the group that says things are worse than a year ago, mm-hmm. that group's a little smaller than it was January 24, so that's good. But the group that says things are worse here in January of 2025 was way more likely to say they had chicken yesterday than the same questions, the same kind of group a year earlier. And I'm highlighting that because on balance, chicken is cheaper per pound, certainly compared to beef, and depends on what pork item we compare to. And I think that's evidence of exactly what you're talking about. So instead of the group that things are the same or better, let's go to the other end, right? The less fun to talk about, the segment where things are getting worse. I think we see an example of sort of quote unquote trading down and absorbing those higher chicken volumes that are on the market.
Any other final thoughts here, Glenn? We got about a little over a minute here as you're taking a look at things with this month's MDM. Anything else you'd mention or reiterate to folks?
Yeah, I mean, we already kind of planning ahead what the February ad hoc stuff will look like. We're going to do a deeper dive into inflation expectations and to be determined what we learned there because we're still early in the data collection in February. But I'll interject that for, you know, folks to have in the back of their mind is your previous guest referenced social media, right? There's a lot of information floating around social media place. Some are more optimistic and some are more pessimistic on what the cost of living and inflation is going to look like as things play out here in 2025. We could do a long segment on that. I don't have time for that, but we're going to monitor that. And if folks indeed start getting more worried about inflation, I think we'll see people tighten their belt and that would become a headwind for domestic meat demand. We're going to try to start watching that here as 25 unfolds, but I would keep your eye on that.
Well, Glenn, always appreciate the time, the insight. And for folks, if they want to take a look at the historical data and more, one more time, where can they get the information?
Yeah, so I'm a faculty member at Kansas State University. This entire Meat Demand Monitor project is beef and pork checkoff funded, fully transparent, available to you on agmanager.info.
Again, that website is agmanager.info for more information. Glenn, I should ask you too, real quick. I know I spent time at the cattle industry convention last week. The mood was pretty high there. We just saw a cattle inventory report that seemed to indicate, you know, the herd size is still at very low levels. What are you hearing right now? Are we starting to maybe get into a rebuild or not so much?
No, I think we'll hear examples, but in national aggregate terms, I'm still of the camp it'll be the summer of 26 before we make a serious effort at that. So I think these tight beef supplies are with us for at least another two calendar years.
All right. Always appreciate the time and the perspective. And again, agmanager.info for more information. Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Good to hear from you again, Glenn, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on AOA. We're going to have a conversation with the president of the United States Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper from South Dakota, to catch up on some various issues that they are watching, including the American Beef Labeling Act and more. We'll talk to Justin coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Are you heading to National Farm Machinery Show? This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA Live on Thursday, February 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. from AGI Booth 7423. In advance of 2025 planting, now is the time to adopt a review, repair, replace strategy. Stop by AGI's booth to get tips and learn what's new in grain storage, conditioning, and material handling. That's Thursday, February 13th from AGI Booth 7423 from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern at National Farm Machinery Show.
Kids today live in a world full of social pressure, bullying, and substance abuse. LEAD has a solution. LEAD connects law enforcement agencies with schools to deliver tested, proven, and effective anti-drugs and violence training to kids. Learn more about LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, and our work to create safer, healthier communities at leadrugs.org or on social media at WeAreLEAD. Sponsored by LEAD, Inc.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Look, markets were mixed with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk up 17 to 1986, April up 1 to 1948, May down 6 to 1938, June milk down 12 at 1863. Meanwhile, triple-digit losses in the cattle markets as the long liquidation continues after the WASDE report did say it was forecasting the beef production to rise from the prior month. Additionally, more imports of Mexican cattle also in that WASDE report, that helping to pressure the markets. Meanwhile, pork production was also forecast to be higher as higher weights throughout the year more than offset the slower rate of processing. However, hog markets closed mostly higher due to strength in pork cutout values. February live cattle down 220 to 199.67. March feeder cattle down 335 to 264.77. February hogs up $1.02 to 88.72. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly lower. Soybeans also mostly lower. Wheat following suit. WASDE report didn't have really any big changes in the corn supply and or demands. Meanwhile, the wheat supply and demand output was for slightly higher domestic use, leaving the lower ending stocks with some strength in the dollar pressuring the markets. Soybeans also moved lower. New crop corn down 1 to 470 and a quarter. New crop beans down 2 to 1055 and a half. Attention all egg producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC. I see.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay and Associates.
As Farmers and Ranchers Inform, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen back with you. We're working to get connected with Justin Tupper from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. We'll try to get him on the line here in just a moment. Couple news headlines that we're paying attention to, though. There's been a lot of talk about the freezes to certain conservation and farmer payments. USDA's frozen some funding for farmers as it goes through a sweeping review, despite assurances from the Trump administration that programs helping farmers wouldn't be affected. And it's something that we're watching closely here. There's been reports that many farmers being affected by this. Reuters says the impact has been wide-ranging, from cash assistance for ranchers to fix cattle watering systems to help for corn growers wanting to plant cover crops that curb wind erosion. The freeze adds even more economic uncertainty for farmers already struggling after consecutive years of incomes dragged down by low crop prices. Bloomberg says the American Soybean Association has been notified by growers that payments associated with the Climate Smart Commodities Program have been suspended. The ASA stressed to the USDA that it should honor the contractual agreement it made with farmers. Senate Ag Committee Democrats joined Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota in sending a letter to USDA requesting information on actions taken by USDA to pause these payments. This is something that we're going to keep our eyes on as we've been hearing more stories about the freeze in funding coming out from various farmers across the country. And I know our team is working on finding out more information. So we're going to keep our eyes on this closely as we move forward. A few other news notes as well. Clean Fuels Alliance America has thanked 28 members of Congress who sent a letter to Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin. The lawmaker's letter urged Zeldin to put the renewable fuel standard back on track and provide a path for the growth of the U.S. biofuel industry. The letter specifically requests that the EPA set timely, robust volumes for 2026 and beyond in the Set 2 rule to reject the abuse of small refinery exemptions and avoid proposals that retroactively lower set volumes or erode demand. The Congressional Biofuels Caucus wrote in the letter that, quote, steady growth in U.S. biofuel production means more American fuel in the marketplace and lower prices at the pump for hardworking families who have spent years suffering under high inflation, end quote. That's a couple news notes. Joining us now here on AOA, let's have a conversation with the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper. Justin, it's good to have you back with us on the program. Hope you're staying warm in South Dakota. I know things are very cold across the northern plains here this week, Justin.
Good to be here. And yeah, we got 15 below, but not too much wind this morning. So that helps quite a bit.
That does help quite a bit, no doubt. Well, hey, I want to ask you about a couple of topics that you guys are watching there at the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, one of which is the American Beef Labeling Act. I know this was proposed here last week by Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota and Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. And this surrounds M-Cool. And give us your thoughts and perspective on this. Is the U.S. Cattlemen's Association supportive of the American Beef Labeling Act?
Very much so. We've been pushing for cools ever since it's been repealed. So we're excited that Senator Thune has reintroduced it with bipartisan support. We know that there are some hurdles to get by, without question. It needs to find a way to be somehow WTO compliant. That's what they're going to put on the trade representatives to make that happen. But I think this is a big, good step in the right direction. And there's several other parts of it, you know, that truth in labeling. So we don't get beef that comes from somewhere else and labeled or even thought to be labeled as Product USA. So it solves several of those issues, and very thankful and appreciative of Senator Thune for bringing it back up.
Well, and I think when it comes to the issue of M-Cool and, you know, Product of the USA labels and things of that nature, I mean, this has been an issue for so long now, Justin, and I think consumers and farmers and ranchers want consumers to know that they're buying a product that is grown here in America and it's not coming from somewhere else, right?
I think that's exactly it. And I think, you know, we don't have blinders on. We know that maybe the product may be higher than some, but the consumer will be able to choose then. If they want to support the American farmer and rancher, they'll have the choice to do that. We also are very strongly believe in our product. We think it's the safest, best protein on the planet. So as USB producers, we believe we can compete in the marketplace. We just want to make sure the consumer has that choice.
Another issue, this news came out here in the last couple of days. JBS has reached a settlement with the U.S. Department of Labor in connection with the company's use of child labor at meatpacking plants across the country. I see a story like this, and this is very concerning to me. And I know the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, you guys issued some statements on this. I mean, talk about your perspective here. This is just seeing this, and I know this has played out in the courts for a while, just a concerning situation surrounding child labor.
Absolutely. We've testified, U.S. cattlemen, in front of Congress, believing that they were using these in their own countries. We weren't didn't have the evidence at that time when we testified that was going on right here in the United States, and that's what they found. So I think it's very concerning, and again, we got to make sure that the big four packers are playing on a fair playing field, that they're not using divisive practices. JBS has been a known bad actor within their country and in this country for many different violations and many different times. So we've definitely been on this issue for a long time, and we're glad they're finally getting some retribution for it.
Justin Tupper, the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, with us here today on AOA. And Justin, let's talk about some other topics on the mind of USCA. I know you guys had your annual meeting back in December in Texas, and obviously we've changed over to a new administration now. There's a lot going on there. Walk us through some of the key policy priorities and more. What are some things that you guys are looking at here in 2025 at U.S. Cattlemen's Association?
Yeah, lots going on is understatement. You know, when you turn over a whole administration, then you've got to build those relationships again with the new incoming people. So in all those department heads and different places. So it is a very busy time. Of course, the new incoming president has really put America First agenda out there. So that aligns with a lot of things we're working on. We believe in competition. One of the things we talked a lot about at our convention was competition and making sure that it's a fair and even competition, that some of the big corporate feeders aren't getting undue and unfair prices for them. I think we talk a lot about the market's as good as obviously as we've ever seen, all-time highs, but definitely not a time to be complacent. Now is the time to make sure that we can stay profitable when the numbers shift back into the packers' favor, when we start building this herd back. But competition has always been one of the first and foremost. We talked a lot about the mandated low-frequency tags, and you know, we've had lots of discussion on that. That we don't believe that those tags do anything to enhance traceability or even help in disease traceability in any way, shape, or form. We think adequate forms that are even probably better are already in place. So those were a few of the top talking points, but it is going to be an interesting time as we move forward in this new administration.
Well, and I wonder too, when it comes to those animal ID tags, that's an issue that the cattle industry has been divided on for some time, and it's one that, you know, Justin, we've talked about many times, and I guess from my perspective, you know, as someone on the outside looking in, I'd love to see there be some sort of consensus among the industry, but I just don't think we're there right now.
Yeah, and that's a word we don't use that often in the cattle industry, consensus. But I think that the trouble with mandating, first of all, the mandated portion of it, that's always sends independent producers and doesn't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling about what they're trying to do with it. They needed to show that it was a better system than we have in place, and they absolutely have not done that. In fact, we have a lot of data to back us up that maybe it is a poorer system than we have in place. For example, the old bangs tags, the first two letters on those bangs tags, you could identify where that cow or that heifer was bangsed at. You knew the state from them first ones. That is not something that's on these new tags. So there's a slowdown in the process of finding that, and the databases aren't there, and they haven't given us confidence of who's going to hold those databases. So lots of troubles with that, and we had lots of discussion on it, and we'll continue to work hard to protect the independent cattle producer.
I got about just a minute or so here, a little less than that. Tariffs. Are you concerned about all the tariff talk and issues that are going on right now?
Well, I think it definitely is a concern, but I think it's a tool we've got to let this administration use and put our faith that they're going to use it in our best interest. I think we've been taken advantage of for a long, long time. Just one quick example, Canada has 33 million people. We have roughly 333 million people, and we have a trade deficit with Canada. Those are things that just shouldn't happen. And we have great partners in Canada, and we really appreciate the relationships we have there. But we've got to get that level playing field and make sure that we're not getting taken advantage of. And I think using those as trade chips or whatever, that's going to be part of how we get there.
Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Always great to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get another preview of Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado with Commodity Co-Chair Rob Schaefer. That's next on AOA.
Did you know?
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelty can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelty can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelty can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications. All 100% online with Zelty and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zelty. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. Babbel is designed with you in mind. From expert-created lessons to conversational video units and even live classes, you can personalize your Babbel experience to be exactly what you need to really learn a new language more easily. Go ahead, set a goal for yourself. Accomplish it with Babbel. Try Babbel for free. Go to babbel.com. That's babbel.com.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? What if you could create more impact in every decision? What if you had a partner as visionary as you are? With Bank of America, you get access to our trusted experts, real-time insights, and digital tools. So whether you run a local shop or a global enterprise, you're backed by business solutions to make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA Live on Thursday, February 13th from 10 to 11 a.m. from AGI Booth 7423. In advance of 2025 planting, now is the time to adopt a review, repair, replace strategy. Stop by AGI's booth to get tips and learn what's new in grain storage, conditioning, and material handling. That's Thursday, February 13th from AGI Booth 7423 from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern at National Farm Machinery Show.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today,
tomorrow, forever.
Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Farm Rescue and Giving Hearts Day are a match made in heaven. This year, on Farm Rescue's 20th anniversary, some of our greatest supporters have blessed us by offering up to $500,000 to match donations made to Farm Rescue for Giving Hearts Day. Giving is open now through February 13th, and we invite you to make these blessings count with a gift to Farm Rescue today at givingheartsday.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, just a few weeks away is Commodity Classic, headed to Denver, Colorado this year, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And it's always a great time at Commodity Classic. And this year's lineup, no doubt, is going to be really good. Let's talk about it. Joining us now, he's one of the co-chairs for Commodity Classic this year. Rob Schaefer from Illinois is with us. Rob, it's good to have you back on the show, buddy. How are you?
Hey, it's always good to talk to you, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's dive in. And as I mentioned, coming up, hard to believe, just a couple weeks away here, the beginning of March in Denver, and that lineup, the schedule of events, the speakers, the education sessions, there's a lot to unpack and talk about. What are some of the key highlights that you want folks to know about coming up for this year?
So yeah, a little different this year. We're a Sunday through Tuesday show. Okay. It's actually in Denver, Colorado, which will be our first ever trip to for Classic to go to Denver. I'm looking forward to it. I've skied out there many times in March, April, and different things. I'm a big skier, even though people wouldn't think so by looking at me. But Denver's a great place. Okay. Wonderful restaurants, you know, good things to go look at with, you know, Coors and different things around. So, but the trade show this year, you know, starts Sunday at 3 o'clock, goes till six. There'll be an opening reception right afterwards there in the convention center. And then Monday, 8:30 to 4:30, and then also Tuesday, we changed it up a little bit, where Tuesday will go from 8:30 till 3, and then our general session will be at 3:30 on Tuesday afternoon, going to 5:30, and then there'll be a closing reception, I guess they call it, which will be something different this year. Then everybody can head home, you know, either then or, you know, Wednesday morning. So, but yeah, it'll be fun. It's a wonderful place. Downtown Denver is really nice. The convention center is nice. Got great views of the mountains, and you can be inside, you know, if there's, and hopefully there'll be a lot of snow on the mountain tops, but not in Denver itself. But yeah, they
want to
handle it. So,
we certainly hope that is the case. And you mentioned the trade show too, and yeah. I'd love to get your perspective as a grower. I mean, and that trade show, it's the who's who of ag companies, whether we're talking seed, chem, fertilizer, equipment, you name it. I know a lot of folks, when they attend Commodity Classic, they can get a lot of business done, honestly, on the trade show floor, can't they, Rob?
Yeah, they sure can. They're the creme to the CEOs, the heads of the companies, the head engineers. So I'll give you a prime example. So I bought, I leased a new Case tractor several years ago and then broke a hydraulic hose, you know, field cultivating. And I lost quite a bit of hydraulic oil, obviously, when I broke the hose before I saw it, and had to refill, you know, put, you know, 10 gallon of hydraulic oil in a big machine, you know, and the fill area was between the tire and the cab. Well, you know, I'm not a small man, and even with dual tires on the front and cocked all the way, it was a very inconvenient place to put the hydraulic fill spot, okay, especially with 2 5-gallon buckets. So I was able the next year to go talk to an engineer who happened to be in, you know, a Case engineer from Racine, Wisconsin, and say, hey, after a few calls, okay, to my dealer and a couple, I actually got to meet with the guy who designed it and said, hey, can we move this to the back? And here's why. But, you know, there was an actual tractor there. Okay. It's that kind of thing that you can get done at Classic that most people don't think about. Okay. The other thing is I'm getting a lot of calls right now. Who is all coming? Okay. As far as exhibitors to Classic. So commodityclassic.com, you scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side and instead of exhibitors, there's a map. You can actually look up the companies. And when you have 11 and a half acres under roof, as far as are carpeted for a trade show, it's so big. And even you would think 3 days you could get through it, or 2.5. Okay. You can get through it all. I suggest people make, you know, a list or a map. Okay. And we have an app for that and that kind of stuff to plan. Who do you want to go see when, or maybe not when, but who do you have to go see to make your time efficient between, you know, the early morning, the early riser sessions for his education, the actual, you know, see for yourself events, that kind of thing, to maximize your efficiency and your ROI while at Classic. And that's the whole name of the game, especially in today's climate with the, you know, ag commodities and the ag economy in general. And it's, you know, it's a lot of time and investment to go to Classic, but I have never been disappointed. I've been going since 2013 and I've never been disappointed on going. And now I know why, you know, they started this 29 years ago. So.
Well, and the list of speakers too, folks can find all that at commodityclassic.com. A lot of the great learning sessions. You mentioned that general session on Tuesday at the end of the day. And I mean, you're going to have the chairs and presidents of all the major commodity organizations on that panel and more. And so it, just a lot of chances for folks to learn and make their voice heard and much more during Commodity Classic. Right, Rob?
Exactly. That's how they say that, you know, if you've got an issue that's top of mind that you would like change or see if there's a way to change it in DC/, you know, actually in your state. Okay. The old adage is, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Okay. And ag, you know, we're getting hit from all sides and we try to be the best stewards out in DC as far as telling our stories, and working with politicians and that kind of stuff to limit the amount of stuff that comes on us. Okay. Or tell our story on why we need this changed. Or why they can't touch this, okay? And explain to them, because you got to remember, most folks, especially outside the, you know, the ag states, aren't from a farm. You know, even Chicago, Illinois soy and corn went together and did a study. Most people that live in Chicago are third to fourth generation removed from farm, okay? Mm-hmm. So they don't know how we do it anymore, okay? You know, so we have to explain to them how we do it, how we're good stewards of the land, you know, and trying to be efficient and use less, you know, inputs as possible to keep feeding the world.
A lot of things for folks to take in. And again, you can head to the website, commodityclassic.com. For more information, you can check out the app as well. Hotels, registration, all of that stuff, I know, Rob, is available on the website right now, isn't it?
Yep. I also just did an update this morning. There's plenty of hotels real close to the convention center that are still available. So, yep, commodityclassic.com, and it will take you where you need to go.
Rob Schaefer, one of the co-chairs for this year's Commodity Classic. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for joining us on the show today. And stay warm in Illinois, and hopefully you don't get dumped on with a snowstorm here over the next couple of days, buddy.
Yeah, we've had it pretty fortunate, so a little snow wouldn't hurt, but I'll take it. So I can't stop it, so I guess it is what it is.
It is what it is. Rob, good to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Rob Schaefer, co-chair for Commodity Classic, headed to Denver, Colorado, coming up here March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. CommodityClassic.com for more information. With that, we are out of time here on AOA today. We'll hear from Rob LaRue with the National Farmers Union tomorrow on the show and more. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Sometimes life is wonderful. and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Attention taxpayers, if you or your business owe the IRS back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, the IRS has green-lighted billions of dollars in tax relief to those facing financial hardship through its tax relief initiatives. If you have a delinquent tax problem and possibly facing wage garnishment, liens, levies, audits, or already in a payment plan, you may now qualify for significant relief. Qualifying and enrolling in this program could stop all collections, settle your tax problem, and may even reduce what you owe by up to 99%. Call the hotline at Tax Help USA to see if you qualify by dialing 800-471-9646. If you or your business owe at least $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS or state, you can now get the help that you need during these hard economic times. Call Tax Help USA to get your free tax assessment to see what you qualify for by dialing 800-471-9646. 800-471-9646. 800-471-9646.
The entertainment you want. The information you need. Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Plum City, Elkmount. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand. Real Country.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The family of American teacher Mark Fogle says it's beyond grateful, relieved, and overwhelmed that he's heading home after his release from Russia. The White House announced it. Fogle arrested on drug charges in 2021. Sitting with King Abdullah of Jordan in the White House, President Trump again warning Hamas to release all hostages by